funny. I just got a bunch of fragrances too today, and I'm like, God damn.
What'd you get?
I got a bunch of the Orebella ones.
Oh, yeah.
Of what little I could smell, they were nice. They were like on the modern side of commercial, leaning more like they didn't smell like a celebrity scent the way I thought they would. They were a little bit more, I don't know, conceptual of those.
Wait, we need this on the show.
I know. Okay. Anyway, that's the cold open. Welcome back to Smell You Later, the podcast where I cannot smell half the time, but we persist.
It's like starting a podcast about mixing paint and being colorblind, but you know what? We move.
We get through it. We move on with our lives to bring you the hard-hitting reports on smells.
Yeah, Sable has gotten a lot of fragrances lately that she cannot smell. I have two, actually, but I do have a working nose. I don't have a working hand, however, but...
What happened to your hand?
Oh, girl, I burned it.
Oh, no.
Oh, when I tell you I burned it, it was...
I'm like, I know you weren't grabbing a curling iron like all these boyfriends are doing on TikTok.
No, what I did grab was a pot that had just come out of a 450 degree oven.
Fuck.
When I tell you I put my whole pussy into that grab, I said, give me that. And I thought, I was like, this is really not good.
The hand is coming off.
Oh my God. It's fine. It's bandaged because Rachel and Kara told me it was going to get infected if I didn't bandage it. And Claire too. So I bandaged it up. But luckily, I'm in no pain. But yeah, I feel like the fragrances are fragrancing right now. The Bella Hadid ones, did you have to follow up with them? Or because I know they sort of fell off.
When the Orebella fragrances launched, I feel like the PR was like really stingy with samples because they were thinking that they were going to sell out or they probably got a limited supply. And I was like, hey, if you have lab samples, we just want to smell them to talk about them. And they're like, sure, we'll send them. They never did. And then Orebella just launched a new scent, Nightcap. So I was like, hello, remember me, who you said you would send samples to if you have them? So they sent the new one, Nightcap. They sent Salty Muse and Blooming Fire. I feel like they've not gone viral the way I think maybe they anticipated.
Yeah, I don't know. I think listen, far be it for me to should talk a celebrity brand. It felt, I can only speak for myself.
Yeah.
Everyone's launching everything. So. Yeah. None of it feels especially compelling or disingenuous. It's all product and it's all brands. But yeah, I don't know. I was just like, oh, okay, cool. And it felt like the industry felt like that with OE too. It was they got Bella in front of the editors and everyone took their photo and then everyone moved on. I think said, just wait till no one cares and they'll send you the full bottles.
Exactly. And that is exactly what happened.
But also, on the flip, am I curious about them? Do I want to smell them? Yes and yes. So...
I feel like I'm always curious with certain celebrity scents. Yeah. I think just by the curiosity of the figure themselves and just from the industrial perspective or the industry perspective of what is this like? What was the brief here? What are you trying to do? Yeah, I could smell a little bit this morning when I got them. But like they're nice. They're pleasant. The bottles are cool.
Bottles are really cool. They're so big too. I didn't realize.
They're huge. Yeah. It is giving, they copied Mugler's homework. I like a weird arty bottle, so I'm for it.
I like a laid-on bottle, too. I think that's cool.
I got the Auntie Anne's Need, the pretzel scent.
I saw that. What? Oh, you haven't smelled it.
Yeah, I haven't smelled it yet, but I looked at the back of the box, and it said made by a Demeter. So I was like, oh.
There you go. See, what I want from that is I don't really want it to smell like a pretzel. I want it to smell like the mall and the exhaust from Auntie Anne's. You know what I mean? I really hope that's what they did.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, you know.
Are you getting the mayonnaise scent?
I called it in and I think you hit me back saying it was coming. I have 2,000 unread emails on my personal right now. So I got to dig that one up. But no, I didn't even hear anything about it. Listeners, someone, a football man has put out a fragrance that smells like mayonnaise. And every statement ends with a question mark because I don't know. But I forwarded the email to Sable and I was like, are we calling the cops or are we calling this in? And the answer was both. It was one of those things where it was just like, I don't want to smell this, but I don't think I can host a fragrance podcast and not. The way that they described it in the email, I could see it working because it seemed, and this email that I glanced at was like bright, maybe tangy, whatever. I'm like, all right, fine. We'll see. I'd rather wear a fragrance that smells like mayonnaise than a fragrance made by a football player, but now I guess I have to do both. Great. That's fine.
I'm genuinely curious what that one will smell like.
Same.
All of these like stunt scents. Like all these like random brands.
You know what? I don't mind. If every celebrity is going to release a scent, everyone's who's not a celebrity is going to release a scent and then try to become this huge founder, then fine, then stunt on me. Maybe that's going to be the most interesting of all. You know, who knows?
Speaking of celebrity scents, Tynan, what do you smell like today?
Speaking of celebrity scents, I am wearing Sweet Tooth by Sabrina Carpenter. Oh, wait, nope. I am wearing that. Okay, I think the collection is called Sweet Tooth by Sabrina Carpenter. I think this one is called Cherry Baby.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yes.
I'm wearing Cherry Baby by Sabrina Carpenter. And listen, I know, like, you know, that I was not fucking with Sabrina Carpenter or her first scent when it came out. Now,
that's so surprising to me.
I know you got me to change my mind. I did smell the first scent and it was fine. It was essentially a warm vanilla sugar EDP, which I'm not mad at.
Literally.
It just wasn't. It was whatever. I have not smelled caramel, the second one. This one, now that I stand Sabrina Carpenter, and I couldn't obviously not call this. And I think releasing an espresso scent from Espresso, her song of the summer, may have been a little too on the nose. But as I love coffee scents,
I think she should have done it.
You know what, though? I think Scent Beauty developed this like a year ago and just gave it to her. It's too on trend to make any sense.
It was in the pipeline long before.
Yeah. That said, everyone is doing a cherry scent. So I was sort of like, you better come with something. And standing aside, I think this is really good. And I'll tell you
how does it compare to like the cherry kingdom?
Kingdom.
Of cherry fragrances.
Throw some cherry scents at me and I'll do an over under or whatever that means.
Okay, so like Lost Cherry, Tom Ford.
Obviously, Lost Cherry is the one that everyone's going to think of.
Yeah.
And I got to say, I like this better. I like Lost Cherry. I like how literal and fun it is. I like how it's ushered in that new era of Tom Ford, more colorful, more fruity, more sexy, more tongue-in-cheek scents. I love that you gave it to me at Kara's wedding. I love that. So it has a very special place in my heart. I know it also started all of this trend of all these cherry scents happening. And it's really good. Love it. This one, it's brighter. It's equal parts fresh, real cherry, and then a candied cherry. And which is nice. It's really bright and juicy, like very bright. And then it does have this back half of like chocolate that really pulls up. And it's this really nice gourmand cherry that is sweet, but deep and balanced. I don't know, man. It's really, I like it better than Tom Ford cherry. I like it better than Kaoli cherry.
Yeah, that was my next one, Kaoli cherry.
Burning Cherry is lovely. I like this leaps and bounds better. That said, you know the type of shit that I like. This is not going to be the fragrance for everyone, the cherry for everyone. But it is one of those that is, it's a fun scent. Who cares? It's $54 for a 2.5 ounce. It's $30 for a 1 ounce. If you're at all curious, just buy it because you're going to have fun with it. The notes are Cherry Cosmo, Glazed Apple, which I think they mean Candy Apple because that's what they're showing, Plum Nectar, Brown Sugar, Red Poppy, Peony Blossom, Dark Chocolate, Vanilla Orchid, Cashmere Wood, Sensual Musk, Patchouli, Elixir, and Amber Resin.
A predictable cocktail.
I do like the chocolate in it a lot. And I'm actually surprised by how much you get of it. Really like it. I think the one thing that I will say is I actually wish it was a little stronger.
Interesting. I would have thought that would be like a bombastic cherry bomb, for lack of a
better. But I wouldn't be afraid to reapply. It's a win. I love it. Sable, what do you smell like today?
Okay, so I got a whiff of this in the like 10-minute fucking window of smell I had this morning. Our old friend from the EXO Jane days, Courtney Brunson, just released...
Oh, I know. I saw this.
Yeah, just released a fragrance oil. Her brand is called Elysium. And she sent us both one of these. So yours is at my apartment.
Oh, so okay, cute. Good. I'm not jealous anymore. Yeah, I was so mad.
Yes. She very graciously sent Tynan and I a bottle of attachment oil, which is like the sole launch of Elysium. And what was really cute is that she said that she found her perfumer through our podcast. And
what?
Courtney Refuse of Universal Flowering.
Listen to this shit? That's cool. Yeah, I saw that she had said that on the Instagram. Yeah. That's so fucking cool.
She had been like teasing out the brand launch for a couple months now. And it was very celestial, very heavenly, very almost like
cherub core skin.
Yeah, cherub core. Mm-hmm. That's like that Fiorucci angel cherub t-shirt. So I was like, okay, this is going to be I could tell this is very celestial, very heavenly, and it smells, it does smell like kind of what I expected it to smell like. It's very musky and light, and it's like that ray, that like god ray of sun that filters through the clouds. But yeah, it does just look like a cherub tableau of the heavens. That's what it smells like. The fragrance notes on the website called out cold, clear 3 a.m. moon, crushed pomegranate seeds, raspberry syrup kisses, crisp mandarin aldehydes, cedarwood forest dew, cumulonimbus clouds, glassy freshwater pearls, silent water with sparkling stars, cherubic flighty love, and then ghostly anxious attachment.
All right.
I know. I was like, okay.
Speaking my language.
It's called attachment oil, so it had to have something. I feel like it had to have something about a love language in their attachment style.
Is it fruity?
I don't get fruity. I get very translucent, musky. There is something that's like a little bit sweet in like a dewy way, but I don't outright get fruit. And again, I say this as I was at like maybe 15-20% smellability this morning when I smelled it. So I'm probably not getting the full spectrum of it. But yeah, as soon as I got it, I just rolled it all over my arm. I was like huffing it.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, I saw her posting about it. And then I like retroactively looked at the Instagram, and I love the rollout. I love the mood board vibes of it. I love all the visuals. And I really just love seeing someone just fucking doing something, including you. But I just think it's so cool that she was like, yeah, I wanted to make this fragrance, so I did. And then also that she worked with Courtney from Universal Flowering.
Yeah.
Flowering. Come on. That's so cool. So I don't know. And I'm so happy that she sent you and also me one. So thank you so much, Courtney.
Yeah. It's a cool, I love how the concept, it's called attachment oil, but I love how the concept, it's, I feel like calling it a skin scent makes it sound like it's a non-scent. No, there's definitely a scent, but it's meant to be the type of scent that you smell on a close person or a lover, or it's like the remnant of a memory of being with somebody. Very romantic in that way, which I love. Yeah, yeah, there is this like very beautiful gossamer quality about it that is just, I don't know, it's very lovely. And I feel like a lot of people will enjoy this.
For sure.
And it comes in like a 15 milliliter from Oil Roll-On bottle. It's $75, which honestly, or bespoke product from a single person, really not bad.
For a bespoke product from a great hot perfumer in a custom bottle with a custom label for $75. I don't know. I don't know that you can beat that. Also, no one, in the good way, no one else is going to be wearing this. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I had to stop myself from saying no one's going to be wearing this, because that's certainly not true. But yeah, how cool.
But yeah, it's really cool. I was so excited for it. So I'm like really glad that, I'm really grateful that she sent it to us. And it surpassed all my expectations.
Shout out to gratitude.
Congratulations,
and Courtney.
Yeah,
congratulations. You of all people know how fucking hard it is to make a fragrance.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, damn, I know what you went through to get this to the world.
I'm still just agreeing with everything you say, as usual.
According to her Instagram, she just like fucked off to Paris forever. And I was like, oh, she went on a journey, and then she made a perfume. And I love that.
I love that. I feel like I don't know, attracted this episode or manifested or spoken into existence, or just wouldn't shut the fuck up and then made it happen. Like, we demanded this episode. We've been talking about the new fragrance boutique here in Brooklyn, New York, called Stell, that we can't speak more highly of it than we already have. But I think
every episode, I feel like every past episode, we mentioned them at least once.
Yeah, and why not? They do have this really incredible singular collection of a lot of things that you may have seen but not smelled yet, but wanted to, which was the case for me. But I was also pleasantly surprised by a lot of the newness that I found that I'd never seen, and now I'm obsessed with. Amphora, for one.
Yep.
I know that there were many scents that I even, you know, either by bottle or by name, was really intrigued by, and then walked away a huge fan of. So it's a really beautiful space with a really beautiful offering. So really excited to welcome Matt and Jake to the show today.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get to it.
Hi, I'm Matt Bellinger. I'm the founder of Stell.
Hi, I'm Jake Bellinger, and I'm one of the founders of Stell. I'm also a stonemason and barbecue guy, boxer, and what else do I do? I do a lot of other things. It changes seasonally, so just a lot.
He's a multi-hyphenate.
And we always start out each episode by asking our guests. Matt, I'll start with you. What do you smell like today?
What do I smell like today? Fresh shower, to be honest with you. No, I've been really loving the Amphora sublimate. So that's been
Hello.
My go-to.
Same. It's so good.
Yeah.
So
good. Yeah. Also, in a similar kind of vibe, the Arquise Grove by the Sea. I don't know if y'all guys got to try that yet, but
yes.
It's like the green bottle. It's so
yes.
good. Yeah.
We were able to go to Carlos's house in the West Village, and he walked us through his new collection, and A Grove by the Sea was so good. I feel like that was like the standout.
Yeah. He described it, and I was like, okay. It sounded nice. It just didn't really sound like anything I'd care about. I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah,
it's so good. It's crazy.
Yeah, with all the perfumes that we have, like samples and stuff of, I keep finding myself drawn to that.
I feel you.
Yeah. It's definitely a grower.
Jake, what about you? What do you smell like today?
So I'm wearing Continental by Crayon, and that is by accident. Actually, this is like Brandon Flynn's signature scent that he purchased at Stell, and it became an emergency one day. Oh, I ran out. I'm going to be away. And I just gave him the tester, and I forgot what it smelled like when we reordered it. So it just came in today, and I was like, oh, what is this? And I just sprayed it. And actually, it's funny. We had a bunch of people in the store today asking for it because I guess they smelt it on him. And yeah. So that is what I'm wearing, Continental by Crayon.
Nice.
Wait, and who blew it up for you guys?
Brandon Flynn. He's like the guy from 13 Reasons and I don't know.
And a Stell customer. Who would know?
And a Stell customer, yeah. First, yeah.
Nice. I never knew who actors are. They're all like, they're like 20. That's why. It
that's
feels
so
illegal
fun.
To know them. I don't know.
I think so. Yeah, I know. So true.
Okay, for the uninitiated, I feel like every single episode for the last 4 weeks, we always mention Stell.
Yeah.
So this episode has been a long time coming. We would love to know from the founders, tell us about Stell's origins. Like, where is the name from? What kind of fragrance boutique were you hoping to create? Like, how did the whole thing come about?
So Stell really started off as a styling concept. The idea was really to create a space where interior designers, photo shoot editors could find objects for photo shoots, for styling homes, and so forth. Basically, when we landed on an article on the Ormai candles, we discovered the Ormai collection, and that included the beautiful fragrances. And at the time, like I said, we never owned a fragrance before. At least I haven't. I think Matt used to always have the Diptyque Tam Dao. And he had one Odin bottle. I personally never owned a fragrance before, just like some that I've inherited and so forth. So at the time I was like, oh, it's like, it's cringy, it's fragrances, whatever. But when I saw Ormai, I was like, this is really beautiful. Where have we been? When has this world come about? And he sent us some samples and I was blown away. A full bottle of Tableau Parisien is just beautiful. It's gorgeous. And from there, we just started researching.
Yeah, and I won't lie, I was really resistant to fragrances in general because we were initially building it around, like Jake said, but also to house all these beautiful marble items, which Jake designs and crafts and all that. And we were like, okay, we're going to make all these cool small items for people in Brooklyn. You don't really have that as much. And then when Jake started bringing in the fragrances, like, what is all this stuff? But I was intrigued by it, but I was also nervous because, yeah, we just didn't know exactly what we were going to do. And once we started like going down the rabbit hole, getting the samples and all that, I was like, oh my God, I didn't realize this stuff was so cool. And people put a lot of thought into it and it had a whole kind of world around it where there was like the aesthetic of it, the smell of it, the stories, all that. And I was like, holy shit, this is something to get into. And we just have not stopped looking for new friends since then.
That makes me feel a little less crazy because when I first heard about Stell, I think it was from between Sable and our friend Emma, who I know that from Perfume Room, shout out. Mm-hmm. I looked it up and I thought it was like more of a sort of like a lifestyle boutique that had fragrances.
Yeah.
And I was like, cool. Then I walked in and I was like, hold on, this is all perfumes then. Okay.
Yeah. It's 4 blocks from where I live and I would constantly walk past it, but at night when it was closed and I would peek in the window and be like, what is this? It looks just like a fancy store. In my brain, I was like, note to self, come back here in the daytime when they're open.
Yeah, I'll tell you, even changing the little thing in Google or whatever that says the category of it, changing it to perfume store took a little bit until we realized that was what we were doing. It's just karma or whatever. The fate kind of brought us to that. And now, yeah, hardcore perfume store for sure.
And it's all organic. It's all something that happened like it would happen to you or anyone who who visits our store. It's almost like when you get the bug and you're like, you start with maybe your friend gives you a hit of cocaine and then it turns into your own bag. Then it turns into maybe a little K and E and Molly. And just that's what it become. In our case, it just become, we become the drug dealers.
Yeah. This metaphor is getting more and more illicit.
Here we go.
I know. You're not wrong, though. It's building a fragrance collection. Sable and I know a ton of people, and I know a lot of our listeners had that one fragrance that got them really interested in fragrance itself. And then it's just the snowball effect.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I had such an, and I was, we were just listening to Die Hot audiobook on the way home yesterday.
Hey.
And you had the whole section about the kind of perfume counter thing. Mm-hmm. And Jake will quote me, like, every time we were trying to plan it, where I'm like, if it's going to be that, then I don't want it to be like department store, like anti-department store, everything. So I definitely felt seen in that. But I think we were able to achieve that. I thought it would be so hard to find all these cool brands or just unique brands or brands with heritage. It doesn't really necessarily have to be like one category or the other, but there's just so much out there.
Yeah. Totally. You guys, I feel like you guys, like Stell is a standout because you carry so many fragrance brands that aren't really carried anywhere else.
Right.
And that was the first thing that I really noticed as unique. I was like, I've seen all these bottles on Instagram, but I've never been able to smell them because they're like from Sweden or from someplace in Europe that won't ship here. So like, how do you find these brands? What do they come to you or do you seek them out?
A mix of it all, right? Yeah.
So a lot of it comes from setting a parameter. I would say it's more like setting what we want instead of what is needed to make sales. A lot of our focus is, what do we actually like? What aesthetic do we actually like? What smell speaks to us as a non-understander, a non-knower? And that's what draws us to the brands that we have. How we find them is honestly just by looking. And looking is, we're both constantly looking. Matt will send me stuff late at night. I'll send him stuff at 5 a.m. and vice versa. And we'll just constantly have an eye out and constantly look.
And people that come in now have been starting to tell us about, you've got to check this out or whatever. And now as the months have gone by and we just opened in April, like we get reached out to a lot now too, which
is, I'll bet. Yeah.
Quite overwhelming.
For sure.
Cause it's just like that email list is high and we try to get to everybody. And we're also like, want to do things like this and run the store and all that. So
yeah, it's a lot.
I'm sure you all know. Yeah.
Well, something I thought was really cool is the Echo Sable here. When I walked in, it's like, damn, I have seen a lot of these online and have been wanting to try them. Haven't reached out. I haven't ordered a sampler set, this and that. It's not one of those boutiques that you walk into and you look around and you're like, oh, like Instagram built this place. Because with as many of them as I recognized, there were just as many that I didn't like Amphora. Some things that I had just never seen before. And it felt really exploratory and new, which I appreciated too, because not to whatever, toot our own horn, but you know, this is our job and we do know a lot about these new brands, whether or not we care. But it's rare that we see something that we haven't seen before in that way. And I feel like it's all there. So I think it's just a really exciting and fresh experience for anyone, no matter what their literacy level of fragrance is, which I think is super valuable.
Totally. Oh,
thank you. I appreciate that. I think that goal achieved. But I think we both have all also been like this in that explorer sense or like whatever for other things, like Jake with interior design, all that, me with music, like I was collecting MP3s from Audio Galaxy, like back in the day, just select all and download, hopefully they'll all be in your computer overnight and like all that stuff. So I think this is a manifestation of a lot of like years of doing it for other things that we're passionate about.
Do you want to talk about a little about the design of the store? I was really taken with what I saw when I came in. I guess I didn't really know what to expect.
No, I saw all the marble and I was like, this was expensive.
Expensive and like super considered. It doesn't just feel like another Brooklyn boutique, no shade, but it's gorgeous.
Appreciate that. So a lot of the design is based on our experiences. We love the south of Spain. We love south of France. So a lot of it, if you notice, is super textured. And so that's one thing that really stands out from that is the sandy textures that kind of you get everywhere. The blending of the marble is really inspired by one of my favorite shopping experiences in New York that kind of got killed off, which is Barney's. I feel like they really mixed marbles. It's such an iconic space that really didn't get to live, in my opinion. I always wanted to do that design one day. And a lot of the swirls and whirls that are everywhere really just, it speaks to beauty, fluidity, all that. And I don't know, it just spoke to us. It's really what we, like I said, the idea is to be authentic and do what you want and hope that people will like it, not to do something for people to like. And I think that was a lot of the objective.
And even like the kind of like, I keep saying the anti-department store or whatever, but the way that like we were both really adamant about the way that everything would be displayed. When we first started to reach out to different brands and stuff, they'd send these whole POS displays or whatever. I was like, no, like they look great and serve a purpose and all that. But I grew up, my parents were like into like old furniture and stuff. They had a store so that was very beautifully laid out. And I worked there as a very young kid, running it all by myself somehow when they were away. But we really wanted to have a really unique way to display all the perfume, so it wouldn't necessarily feel like a counter or a POS point of sale, whatever, and feel like, at least in that shelf or in that section, something that had somewhat of a connection to the brand and also us at the same time.
How did you approach designing a store that was a work of art on its own, but then acted as a living display that would then not take away from the design of the bottles? Because you carry so many really design forward brands that are super exciting to discover and look through. But your store is also as designed out as a lot of what you carry. But I find that it doesn't compete with each other or clash or get too noisy. How did you find that balance?
First of all, I will say we are definitely, especially Matt, super particular about the bottles that we select in the store. Sometimes we'll pass on a brand because the aesthetic of the bottle doesn't fit, even if the fragrances are good. And I know it sounds crazy, but that is part of the experience itself. The overall aesthetic and beauty on top of it's about a fully holistic vision. And even when a bottle's too simple, we're sometimes not into it. But another thing that really helps is comes together kind of Matt's idea for merchandising and the original design of the store. The original design of the store is earthy. And it's basically, if you notice, the walls and the ceilings are all made out of concrete. They were actually, if you look at one wall, that's an area that I did myself and show the guys how to do. Next time you guys are in a store, I could show it to you guys. But literally, we troweled cement and plaster all over the walls. And Matt had this idea to use the rocks, the leftover rocks from all the plates and stuff that we made. And we then like integrated the rocks and the space and the fragrances together. And I feel that it all blends into each other. And you find this a lot with maximalizing. Sometimes the volume is so high that you don't see anything. A lot of people think that cleanliness kind of, you will see less, but if you put a clean room and you put a red truck inside, you're really going to see a red truck. Now you put the red truck in a red room, you're not going to notice it. So in a way, the maximalized concept and the rocks and the fragrances are actually hidden and positioned around the rocks. They're almost camouflaged in a way. And also we're constantly adjusting, constantly.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I'll walk in there and I'll just be like, okay, I think we need to change stuff up. Even like in our house or whatever, our apartment, I'll always like redo stuff. But I think it's fun to not feel restricted by, okay, we set that up and that's it kind of thing. And we don't have, it's ours. We don't have anybody to answer to in this particular aspect of our lives. So we just go for it. Just redo stuff all the time. But I would say the displays with the rocks and all that stuff came much later when we were like, oh shit, what do we do with all this stuff? Like we had all the bones and all that, but then we were like, okay, now we've got to actually set this all up. So who knows where it'll evolve to.
I feel like shop merchandising is just every day you walk in and you're like, maybe this should go over here. In a past life, I was a shop girl at boutiques in downtown Manhattan or even in Williamsburg. And it is such a formative experience. I feel like you either work in the service industry or in retail. Those are two fundamental human experiences that I feel like if you have those experiences, you just get humanity on such a more broad level. And Matt, you mentioned you worked at your family's furniture shop. Yeah. But Jake, did you also like work retail in a past life?
No, the most I did retail was like a day at the, what was that? What's the California, that coffee chain, the one that's everywhere?
Oh, the Bean?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I was in the Army, so I was in the West Coast. And I don't know, the day after I joined, my mom's like, oh, you have to come back to New York. And after I got my job at the Bean, and not the Army. And then I just was like, all right, okay, I'll come back. And I just transferred in New York.
I mean,
it's funny that you say that you didn't originally set out to do a fragrance shop and then it turned into a fragrance shop. And I'm Now that I've heard that, I'm positive that's why the experience is so unique, at least to me as a fragrance shopper. I feel like I'm walking into a shop where it's just like, oh, hey, here's our shop. Welcome. Whereas like a lot of times we will go fragrance shopping at unnamed boutiques and feel unwelcome. And that seems to be a lot of people's shared experiences with fragrance shopping. Is that kind of something you had in mind, the experience of the customer when they walk in?
Yeah. Between all of us, like we're all different shoppers in a sense. Like I can be the one that like wants help. I can be the one that's, I've got this. Like I know what I'm looking for. I think Jake's the type that he wants like the story and the kind of the red carpet and all that. So I think from the beginning, we were like, just try to give people the chance to show us what they're, guide us to where they want to go. Mm-hmm. But obviously, it's just our store as well. So like when people walk in, you're like happy that someone came in. So it's just,
oh, you're here.
They're like, welcome. Yeah, like you've known them forever. Yeah. So I think that was how it started in a few months ago. And we just kept that going as much as we can when people come in.
Nice.
Yeah.
And also I'll say I definitely come from a background where people were mistreated when they shop. My dad was always a construction worker, a very good construction worker at that, did very well for himself, but he was always a guy in a Ford F-150 and dirty clothes. That was him. Also super triggered in a very masculine way. So for example, one day he decided he wanted a BMW. So he went to the BMW dealership and they wouldn't give him the time of day because skin color and just the way he was dressed. And he went over to the teller or whatever they call the guy, and he opens up a briefcase. I think it was at the time, 50,000 cash. And he told him, this could have been yours. Now I'm going to go across the street to the other BMW dealer and get it there. And
oh my God, he pulled a Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman.
Isn't it great? He did. Such a Julia Roberts.
But that stuck his shopping. His years of being mistreated shopping, he used to go with my mom and they used to not give him a time of day and give her the time of day. So it's just like that kind of thing always. And I always said to myself that if we ever did this, I always want everyone to feel important. I always want everyone to feel good. Obviously, we're not going to bat 100. I'm sure I've offended a few people over the past few months. And if I do, I apologize. And I will try to do better again. And I hope that everyone of our staff will always greet everyone nicely. But definitely that has made me feel like I want to be an accepting and good environment. And I hope people respect what we've built and enjoy it with respect for the fragrances. And you know, you have to take it seriously when you get in there because these bottles there's a lot of care in these bottles.
Do you find that there is a typical or usual customer, or do you find that people come in looking for something specific, or do they just wander in like, what's this?
It's so not all over the place. There's people who just want to experience something. There's people come in from like a stockist page that just, I want that specific item. The neighborhood that's just like, oh my God, I didn't even realize this was here. So I wouldn't say there's anyone particular, but I think the one thing is that everyone's really intrigued by it, which is a nice vibe to have someone walk into. I don't know if Jake, you have any others here.
I'll just say the one thing that most impressed me and gave lighter fluid to this whole operation, to see the excitement from the fragrance community in particular, it was like lighter fluid. We never knew this existed. And when you see excitement in people's face, just experiencing different fragrances, when you see this excitement of trying a brand you've never seen, when you've seen the excitement of someone finding their fragrance. I always say this and I see it in the store. When I see someone like get super excited over a specific scent, I'm like, stop, you did it. You got it. You don't get that. There's very few things that gives us that feeling that only we can experience. Maybe sex, maybe food, particularly certain things that only we can translate, right? Because no one else can get into how we're feeling at the moment. And with smells, I think Sable Etsy spoke about into your book, it's the empowerment that you get when you smell something, when you beautify yourself, when you do something. Mm-hmm. It's something you're able to do. And with smell, it's not even as complicated as a beauty. It's as simple as just, and you got to claim this moment. You got to project this moment. And when I see someone excited, I'm like, you did it. Don't doubt yourself. This is it for you. You don't get this happy for nothing.
Yeah. You deserve this for yourself.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing about fragrance is that, yes, it's a quote unquote a beauty product, but it's like the one non-prescriptive beauty product, because it's just like what you find pleasurable and you get to wear it. And then other people can also enjoy it. And that's just like another way to connect with people.
Yeah. And you can also keep it yours if you want. Like we discovered like this early. I discovered this new thing of the going to bed scent. Like I had this idea of take a shower. You're like, okay, well, I don't need any fragrance. I'm like, well, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
why not?
On the topic of your customers, do you find that, I don't know if you'd say you have a typical customer or not, but I know you said that they have that shared experience of finding the place and being really intrigued, but do you find that most customers have a sort of working knowledge of fragrance and like a vocabulary, or are they flying blind and just like smelling around and figuring out what they like? Are some experts? Like, what do you find you see most of? And then how do you navigate that shopping experience for them?
There's honestly, there's a few kind of buyers. There's people that come in that are general people that are adjacent to fragrances that just want a fragrance because they want a piece of the pie. Now, I could say that is the average shopper. There are people from the neighborhood, people that are around New York that have seen, heard about Stell, and they're like, oh, I want a fragrance. I want to be unique. I want something. They don't have a whole lot of knowledge. Their knowledge is limited to Le Labo, Diptyque, Dias & Durga, and whatever the other big houses are. Normally, they come in and they say, guide me, or they'll go and experience and come back with a bottle. They usually are the lucky few because they're still early on their journey and they get to use their nose, not their confusion. I find that the biggest loss comes with the people who know a lot about fragrances and have been trained by keepers of the industry that notes are more important than nose. I had a very interesting call with a collector that she saw some of the brands we have and she reached out and we had a phone call. Now, she actually revealed to me about a secret section in Bergdorf that very few people know about, and it's called JAR. I don't know if you ever heard about it. And that stands for something, something Rosenthal. Anyways, but it's called JAR for me. Now, okay. JAR is actually a fragrance collection by a very famous jeweler that you cannot make appointments with, you cannot call, you cannot go to unless you know where it is. And he also has a collection of fragrances. And also, his fragrance collection is available only in Bergdorf in this corner, this hidden corner that you have to be invited to, or in Paris also by invite, which you cannot take pictures. You cannot actually write down notes and anything.
Oh my
now,
God.
His concept, she told me, is exactly like our concept. Use your nose. Stop looking at notes. And the idea is, I feel like a lot of people come with a lot of confusion, built-in confusion. It's, I like this, I like that, I like that. I have a lot. And they also have trauma from all these bottles that they were convinced to buy based on these notes. Now, I think I said this to you. One person's iris is not another person's iris.
Right.
They'll never be the same. You know, and actually, I would love to do this with you guys because we did send you guys some samples. And two of them are very relevant to this concept that we have. I want to talk about how ideas versus notes. So you have With a Candle by Clue. Clue is
with
the
candlestick.
Oh, yeah.
With a candlestick. The amazing thing about Clue is this is everything we want about a house. For example, we don't have Clue because there's no caps. That is what we want from a house. I want a house that can't get the caps to deliver the product.
They're sold
out. It should be that special.
Wow.
But anyways, leaving that aside, With a Candle and Raconteur Religious Guilt Spritz. Now, the beautiful thing, I love Craig. He is so awesome. He's such a talented perfumer. He has a place in the island of Tasmania. He respects the original people over there. Not only that, he creates lampshades from the pulp from some of the raw materials. Again, can't produce bottles because of caps, makes lampshades out of raw materials. That is everything. I can sign off there. But anyways, 4,000 miles apart, these two people have this idea. I'm going to make a communion spray. I'm going to make a scent based on a church. Now, if you smell both of these, I could change both of them. They're very different. They speak to themselves, but they connect. Why? Because if I told you that I wanted a scent of a communion and I showed you another idea of communion, they would connect. There is more connection with ideas versus a blank, a letter of notes saying that I mixed this and that, and you can't even tell.
Yeah.
So these two ideas came together 2,000 miles apart and created these amazing scents that to me really connect.
And the notes aren't the same, which is crazy. So it just goes to show you the idea. I've been finding myself doing that a lot as we've started to get more knowledgeable about all this and experience more is I find connections between different fragrances a lot. Like, I'm like, oh, that's like that, but with this. And that kind of makes me feel that same way, but it's like completely different. That's been happening to me a lot.
Yeah. I remember the last time I was in the shop, Jake, you were telling me that I think it was one of the Orme fragrances that shares notes with Die Hot with a Vengeance. And then there was also the Regime de Flore Crushed Fruits, which shares notes. And it was funny because it was like this Venn diagram where they're like sisters or cousins where they're similar. It's almost like copy my homework, but don't make it the same so they can't.
Right.
What is this religious guilt one called?
From the Raconteur.
Yeah.
Religious Guilt Spritz.
That's such a fucking awesome name.
Such a great name. So they also have, it's called Cloud Nine Juice, and it smells like watermelon and like a couple of other things. It's so good. Y'all have to try it. That's actually also what I smell. That's what I'm going to smell like tomorrow.
We will be calling that in. Just kidding. We will be buying it from Stella.
Yeah.
I'm recording this in my bedroom because our Wi-Fi is being a little crazy and I'm spraying these on my boyfriend's side of the bed. He's going to be so mad at me. These are incredible. I love Clue. I discovered these. Yeah.
I've been getting acquainted with them and they're just like so clever. I love talking about describing scents more conceptually. Like I did it with my own fragrance, but I also appreciate when other fragrance people do it because not only does it tell me what it smells like, it just paints me like a whole picture of like where your head's at with this scent and like what it's meant to evoke. And that to me gets me so much deeper than being like, it has top notes of orange blossom and neroli and pine. Yeah. To me, I'm just like, somebody had told me in the past that trying to describe a scent by listing the notes is like trying to tell someone what a painting looks like by telling them what colors are in it.
And then you're locked into that.
Yeah.
It's like locked into it forever because we also notice just in the months, like people coming in, it's what are the notes in this? No, then obviously it's interesting. I love knowing all of what's in everything that I put on my body and all that. Don't get me wrong, but and it goes to what Jake was saying. It's just like give people a chance to just think past. It's who cares in a sense. It's good that we know that, but like, how does it make you feel? Really? Do you feel good with it on? What does it remind you of? Which is great to watch.
And you guys, Tynan and Matt, know all about this. Actually, Sable, you know about this too. Words are marketing. You need to convince someone that it smells good, it probably smells like shit.
Yeah, true.
And those words are not easy for people to pull together in concise ways.
Yes.
That's a long time.
We constantly just see the most clown-ass fragrance marketing out there. That's like, it's a lot of kind of like hello fellow kids marketing strategy where... Or just like very self-serious, I don't know, convoluted, almost feels like it's written by ChatGPT trying to mimic a fragrance ad. But the fragrance industry in general has historically taken itself very seriously in a completely nonsensical way. And I kind of like that we're still doing that, but in a different way that's just a little bit more emotive and evocative. And as crazy as it is, I'm like, it's hitting. It's working for me.
Yeah. And even I know you guys obviously sent us the questions before, but about the events, it just had me thinking about that. Like when we started doing the events, obviously people just asked and we asked and it just all happened like very organically, like just like with your event and Joey and everybody coming in, like Fisher Soon we just did. And they like talk about the fragrances. You can tell that's not ChatGPT.
Yeah.
That's like in their heart, the way that the thoughts that they had, the story of the dad and the sister, like coming up with different things. It's just like real stories that we all have in our lives. So you can really start to spot it really quick, I think.
I love that you guys do events to just introduce the brands that you carry to people. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's not something that we really see in a lot of like fragrance boutiques at all.
Yeah.
How did that come about? Or was that something you were like, we're definitely going to do this? Or was it just like somebody asked you and you were like, yeah, sure, we could do that?
Someone did ask. I think the first one was May. We did the phone call. He's like, yo, I'm coming to New York. We should do an event. It was like that.
Yeah, okay. Literally. Like that. All of them have kind of been like that. You'd think there's like some masterful strategy behind all of it, but it's just, hey, we'd love to do an event. Cool. What day? Great. And then you just figure it out as it goes along. Like I've got my like event hit mix to slowly turn up the volume up on for a 2-hour period. But no, obviously like we talk about it and all that stuff. And it's always great to have like...
Besides for Abel, I will say those people have it together.
God.
came
they dressed
in,
the like... windows, like all that. I was like, whoa, this is, it felt so real. Wow. We got a store, like, yeah, like dressing up the windows.
I think eventizing fragrance, it's obviously a great business move for a boutique like yours, but fragrance feels often so isolating because we're not ever taught about how to talk about it. And everyone's so afraid to be wrong and look stupid and, God forbid, like the wrong thing. But I think we've always talked about fragrance as a communal experience, if you want it to be. And Sable, in her book, Die Hot with a Vengeance in Stores Now, it talks about how fragrance is like an act of community care. And when I've only been to one Style event for the Sable's book, but it was cool to walk in and see all of these people there for this shit that we love and have devoted a lot of our lives to. And it's, I met a bunch of cool people there. There were a bunch of our friends there. And it was really nice because I'll go to any event, as Sable well knows, but fragrance still feels like such a niche thing that you don't often see that many people in the room for a common cause. It was just really nice and refreshing.
Great to hear. It's great to see, because obviously, like, when you put up the flyer, like, shit, I hope people are going to come to this, right? Like, every time.
That's,
you know,
like, that's my eternal hosting crisis, is that I hate hosting things because the whole time I'm like, what if no one comes?
Yeah, but we had such a great time at Sable's event. It was so nice. And Joey doing the kind of demonstration with
that
all the different elements.
That was so fun, yeah. Also, it was cool because perfumers don't really get to... they don't really get the recognition for a successful scent. It's because the industry is just so internally facing. So it's really cool that I'm like, yes, I launched a fragrance, but I didn't make it. I just put it together. This guy actually made the smell. It was really cool to let him go off on that.
I feel like he also, and I don't know if he was able to read the book or you all were just friends or whatever, but we were listening to the Audible or whatever. I connected the fragrance through, like, probably about halfway through, I started to understand the fragrance and what was inside it. Like, you were talking about, like, just being in school and, like, the Bath and Body Works or whatever. And then the different thing, it was really like that. They really connect, like, in a cool way. It was cool. We were driving yesterday and at one point I was just like, oh my God, I totally see. I see all these notes through this.
Joey and I grew up, like, I think in the same timeline. So we would have definitely been exposed to similar monoculture scents, like Axe Body Spray, Bath and Body Works, all of those.
We have Bath and Body Works to thank for so much of this.
Like, I have Joey to thank for that event, because at least from what he told me, he just marched into the store and chatted you guys up and was like, oh, by the way, I made this scent.
I think it was also, too, before Jake would know, his friend that came in, too. It came in a waves. It connected, so slowly connected. Yeah, it was cool. And we weren't sure.
I'll be honest, we get a lot of things thrown at us. The key here was very simple. He gave us a sample. We smelled it. It was good.
That's
what it took.
Yeah.
It was good. The sample.
And was like, I want to do this.
You smell a lot of unstable shit lately, because we have taken a lot of new and young perfumers. So a lot of what we smell are actually, I would say, unstable, because that's the best way to explain it. So when you smell something from someone who has zero street cred and you're like, this sounds stable as fuck. And when I say stable, because stable is very important when you look at younger perfumers, because usually the one thing I'm noticing, and again, we're raw, we're young, so we don't know anything either. But the one thing I'm noticing after smelling hundreds of bottles is that stability is the key to good perfuming. It's very hard to do something overarching. It's very hard to do something underwhelming. Sorry, easy on both those things. It's very easy to be overarching or overwhelming. Stability is key. For example, which we'll get to smell the new fragrance, by the way. I think one of the greatest things about Regime is her stability. Her products are so stable and so pretty across the way. And if you meet her, you'd see... that's really her. She's very pretty. She's very well put together. She's not loud, but she's striking. So I feel like that attitude, like, shows through her work, even though she's not the perfumer per se, but her work is definitely signature. And I think that stability is really hard to achieve, especially for a young perfumer. And Joey, right off the gate, I was like, okay, this is an actual product. If you can walk up to a bottle like this, unless you're completely lying, which I didn't get those vibes, this is really good.
And he also said he played, I think it was Barry Sachs and or whatever. And that was my instrument, in marching band and all that stuff. So I was like, oh, sold.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Wait, sorry. I distracted myself and I'm going to distract the entire room. But can you tell us about this eclair fragrance, because this one jumped out at me and I put it on the blotter and then put it on myself and now I'm spun out.
So let's talk about eclair. Now, all the fragrances, so just to give everyone a preface, we are getting to smell fragrances that have never been smelt before. These are the new releases from a few of the houses we work with. These houses are gracious to send us. And this is a perfect segue, actually, because this is from Regime the Floor. And actually, Ali actually told us, don't say no. So it's perfect. I said, this is
how perfect. Yeah.
So we'll all spray this.
God. Full disclosure, I'm having a sinus event right now. So Tynan, you were going to have to be my nose on this one.
I'm up.
I'm sniffing as hard as I can.
Okay, so I won't ask about the notes, even though it makes me mad. But is this supposed to smell like a like an eclair, like a pastry?
So I definitely think that I'm getting a bit of custard vibes, but not really. I'm also getting something a bit animally, and I'm getting something sexy, something vibey. I like this a lot. I think it's something good for the weather that we're for the cold. I think it's a great scent for autumn, winter.
I love like wherever like Aaliyah's thinking is with it, with her fragrances. They're so good. She's just like, she's so stylish.
We're not going to be breaking any embargoes with these, right? I don't have time for
We just weren't supposed to talk about the notes. But honestly, guys, when we told everybody we were on here, they were like, oh my God, like sending. So we thought it would be a fun thing to do. So yay, I don't think we need to worry. But we'll double check anything before because I'm getting like, I work at a bakery and I'm really sexy vibes. Ooh. But like an upscale bakery.
I'm getting like custard and a little bit of cocoa and like chlorine.
Yes, the chlorine is what makes it. Yes, that's the animal-y part.
We don't know that there's chlorine in there. We're assuming there's a
chlorine-esque note.
Chlorine-esque note. She also, or they like to go by a pool. Maybe it's a bakery like on some sort of ocean.
I like this
one. It is very warm though. It has like a warmness to it, but that's like fresh and not.
So is the name just eclair?
Fleur eclair. Fleur eclair.
Very French.
Really beautiful scent. This is a great flirty date night scent. I feel like this speaks to all the girlies that want the gourmand, but you don't want to be cheesy. This is perfect. Also, I think that I heard you guys talk about what is the next step in fragrances. I think the next step in fragrances is Cruella de Vil scents. Any smell that a woman with a Dalmatian coat would wear is what we're going to get.
And we had Mob Wife. Now we have Cruella de
Vil. Oh my God. Scents.
Yes,
guys.
Puppy killer girl winter.
Well, it is so appropriate because if Cruella de Vil was a man, she wouldn't be wearing a Dalmatian coat. It would have been a cool leather coat. But because she was a boss woman, she had to be wearing a Dalmatian coat. I think it's very appropriate, actually.
Love that.
But anyways, her energy without being the villain is what we need.
Okay. I see that.
I love a villain redemption story.
Oh,
so
yes.
I'm here for it.
What's next, Jake?
In the vein of Flora Claire, Andrea Mack was lovely enough. And by the way, I'll say we were very close to not carrying Andrea Mack. We were, okay, so we had an embargo about any brand with a name on it. Yeah, okay. Because Matt was like, oh, I don't like the idea of a name on a bottle.
Listen.
That's going to cut you off to a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, clearly, yeah. Then you realize you're like, okay, wait, you know what? Maybe this isn't a rule to keep because there's a lot of great shit out there that has a name on it.
So we were so excited to actually meet Andrea. I remember when she came back, she walks into the shop and she just walks in, like, beelines right to the back to the chair, puts her bag down. I just drove 12 hours. I need a coffee. I know that accent is bad. I'm sorry, but I love this woman, and she was epic from day one. Incredible Cruella energy, the nicest person you've ever met. Such a boss lady. And this is her new scent in Other Gems after I stopped fangirling. And by the way, we will be doing an Andrea Mack event. It unfortunately will probably not be open to the public because there's too much on that one. But this is her, she has two new scents. One I couldn't decant. So we have one to try, and it's Osimo. And I think that it also speaks to Claire, but more fresh.
Do I have that one?
You should have an Osmo.
Oh, the one that says Osmo? Okay.
Yeah.
Now the other one. I imagine.
I've actually always wanted to smell Andrea Mack fragrances.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they're so great.
I think they're so great.
What was the one that we had this weekend? That Jess. Oh my God. So I was obsessed with wearing that all weekend long.
Fun.
She has really cool bottles. I love the very like architectural graphic shape.
Yep. Little 90s aesthetic in there somehow.
A little 90s, like, I couldn't
point it. Oh, but it's, so cool.
It's like Davidoff meets like a disposable cup. And I mean that with the most respect in the world. This is
I'm a sucker for nine. Yeah. Like,
it's funny. Osimo for Andrea is almost tame. Her scents are definitely more bold, but it does have that signature boldness that she has. It's almost like a overdrive, a steroid skin scent. I'll put it that way. It's like a skin scent on steroids. So it gives you that skin scent vibes, but it also is super poppy in a way. So I super love this one. I think that, like I'm saying, this could do great. Of course, quintessential summer scent, but also everyone gets lost in this idea of summer, winter. Fresh scents are what's up for winter. Wouldn't you want to be fresh during the winter?
We are canonically a non-seasonal scent.
I agree with that.
Yeah. I understand the logic of not wearing a super heavy, oody fragrance in the summer, just because if it's really hot and humid and then that assaults your senses, you're like, ugh. But generally speaking, just wear what you want when you want.
Oh, yeah. I really love this.
I want to smell on skin for sure.
I definitely put it on the skin and tried it. I thought that was a really good part. It definitely opens up on skin.
Sable, I can't believe you can't smell.
I know, I feel so bad of all days. We're like go on the smell challenge.
No. I swear to God, somebody just has a voodoo doll of me and is just like pinching the nose. God.
Maybe this will open up your
vital
nose.
Information.
Saddle by Perfumer Age. So Perfumer Age sent us this fragrance that is not even out yet. Everything we're smelling right now. And Perfumer Age is an amazing brand created by one of the most prolific perfumers. It's definitely one. I know it has a lot of respect, but I don't know if people understand how amazing this brand is. The way Lynn Harris captures these concepts in vivid, just it's remarkable how vivid these concepts become to life. Mm-hmm. Through your nose. Now, I would say this saddle is the first perfume Perfumer Age has ever made, although they have 15 or 16 or 17 or 18. I don't know. They have a ton of them. But this is the first, to me, perfume. What I say that is, it's usually always a concept for her. Now, this was based over a saddle soap. This fragrance is just absolutely stunning for Perfumer Age. I think it is. This blows my mind. It's clovey. I hate the word animalistic because like who the fuck huffs animals, but it is so good. This is definitely my everything. This is my jam.
Nice. I feel like I've heard the name Perfumer H dropped in many Frag Talk fragrance TikTok creators. They seem to be like a very buzzy fragrance brand.
I think Ormay mentioned told us about them, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love anything with a heavy clove note. So
I like this a lot. Yeah.
This is right up your alley though, Sable.
In a couple days when I get my smell back.
There's almost like a metally kind of nest to it, which I know we're not supposed to talk about the notes, but like the words to describe it.
Who cares? It's our show. You can do whatever the fuck you want.
I love this. I love this. It's like a little bit of like a tea also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That one hard to pin down.
It feels cozy.
If you ever had one, now is the time to say it on the air. Do you have a white whale fragrance brand that you absolutely want to have in the store?
Oh my God.
What does a white whale mean?
Like in Moby Dick, you're like, this is the one thing I must have.
One you're always looking for, but can never find.
Oh, like we would have it. Like we would buy it.
Absolutely not. Nothing. I don't think life works that way. I don't think there's nothing that I need or want. I think that there's beauty everywhere we look. I think all the brands we have. Someone asked, what's your favorite brand, best friend? I actually like all of them. I look around
that's
and I don't just say
question.
That to be nice. Yeah. I actually do. I find myself spraying bottles. Like Matt said, it's like our collection too. So we spray around. We try different things. I don't want anyone who doesn't want to be in the store. We don't want anyone who needs to be asked to be in the store. We want people who want to share their beautiful art and beautiful creations with the world and have great partners. And if your mindset is one of exclusion and toxicity, then I don't really care to care.
I know, like when you like have people, you're like going into a business partnership with them. So like,
yes,
if they're unpleasant, you're like, I don't want to respond to your emails.
Yeah, I realize that early on, I was like, oh my God, this is a relationship. Because just as much as we want to bring them into our store, like they have to want to be in our store or just be part of like us as well. So there's, and Jake is always really good at this, is talking to them first. And what's y'all's story? Yeah, here's what our story is and all that. And that part, I think, has probably also led to events and what we're doing right now and all that stuff. Because when you do find people that you're connected to, it's like, it just goes on from there.
One thing that I think is perhaps unique or probably like in the FAQs is samples. What is your, as we were talking about this before, and then I wanted you to save it for the podcast, but like, what are your thoughts on samples? Do you think that they're an effective mode to help people find their next favorite fragrance or as a fragrance drop? Like, how does that, I don't know, how do you navigate that?
So I definitely have an opinion that samples are a fear-based process. I think mm-hmm. that we're afraid to make a choice. We're afraid to make the wrong choice because we've been traumatized with choosing with notes instead of our senses. We have a gift and it's an individual gift that no one else can write for you. Yeah, I can listen to your guys' podcast and hear you guys say, this is amazing. And it's amazing to you and nothing on earth will change that. Mm-hmm. And I think that if people would use their senses and smell things, they would be happy. We have never chosen anything past the first month of opening and said, this was a wrong choice. And I could take that and tell you and use that. You will never make the wrong choice if you actually smell it and like it. Don't convince yourself you like Clue because you heard it on these podcasts. Love Clue because your nose tells you that this is good. It's like a bad relationship, right? If you have to write a reason why you should be in it, you will probably end up hating each other. If you actually love each other, you won't need the reasons. You'll actually love them. And these fragrances, they're a relationship. You can't stay with something if you hate it. And don't convince yourself. Don't bullshit yourself. Follow your noses. Matt hates that word, but follow your nose.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I like at one point I was like, okay, we need to ban like two words, nose and smell. What are the other words for the There are no other words for it. Yeah. So we're stuck with them.
Every brand I've ever worked for has always banned the key words that you need. Like, when you work at Equinox, you can't say gym, you can't say workout, you can't say fitness. Yeah. What the fuck do you do?
No.
Your lifestyle brand.
Yeah. No, I love how you just ended that. I think that's a really beautiful note to go out on, honestly. Yeah. That's like the thesis of our show. Yeah. This has been really wonderful. I love that we finally closed the loop here and got y'all in because we have been talking so much about Stelle and your incredible offering. And if you're listening and in New York or visiting, please go see the guys at Stelle. It's going to be an unforgettable experience for y'all, I'm sure.
Honestly, yeah, if there is one fragrance boutique you hit up in New York City, truly, Tyne and I have been to all of them. Stelle has stuff that you won't be able to smell anywhere else.
Yeah. Yeah. It's truly the one.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And they're nice. Just appreciate more than the rest of them could say.
That was such a cool episode idea. We got to do a little live smell sesh.
A little interactive smell session for us.
I was not having a sinus event at this time, but... No, this is great. I have this whole little set to look forward to smelling soon. And that Régime de Flore scent sounds so good. He just had to tell me about it. I was like, I want it.
It's the only one I put on my skin. And I know I probably scare people off when I say gourmand because all I want to smell like is a sugar cube. But this is a gourmand that I feel like Régime de Flore would do. You know what I mean?
Totally.
I don't want to say anything derogatory toward my girl gourmands, but it's just... a little pulled back and elevated and nice. I really love it. But I love all of this. I'm really excited to wear some of these on skin, to go through them again. I think it's great. What a great idea.
Yeah, seriously. You could lose like hours of your day just like smelling things in that store.
Totally.
Honestly. Totally. Every time I go there, I like go there. I'm like, oh, I'm dropping off a restock of my perfume. I'm always going there for some little errand. And then I end up spending like 30 minutes to like an hour there just like chatting with Jake having him show me like their new what they have in, and it's just such a lovely experience.
I know I every time I walk by I want to go in, even if I'd already been there in the week. I'm like, you never know. So if you are in New York or visiting, definitely go hit him up. I would say if you're a lover of fragrance. It's mm-hmm. worth the pilgrimage if definitely. You are looking for a fun little day trip. You could spend hours in there, and we have. So maybe yeah. we'll see you there.
Williamsburg is another little fragrance strip.
It is.
Most of the big brands will be on, you'll find them on North 6th Street off the Bedford stop. But
who? DS and Durga, Byredo,
Diptyque, Chanel, Le Labo, Hermes. Yeah, like all of the designer brands you'll find there. But then you just like walk to the south side. Stell mm-hmm. is on Bedford between South 3rd and 4th Street. And that is where you're going to find all the cool hidden stuff.
Isn't it funny how they called DS and Durga one of the big houses? I was like, God, how thinking.
They are not.
I know it's yeah. true, but I'm like, I'm 100 years old and I remember the yeah. old bottle. My debaser is still in the old bottle.
It like, is? That's crazy. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I know.
How far they've come.
Look how far we've come.
Thank you again for listening to another episode of the hit podcast, Smell You Later. Please leave us 5 stars on every platform imaginable. Please pay Stell a visit. Follow them on Instagram. I think they're at Stell, not me not knowing.
It's S-T-E-L-E, not two L's,
yeah.
correct?
Yeah, they're at Stell New York. And yeah, if you're in New York, pay them a visit. You can find us at our website, smellylater.live. You can leave us a voice note on our hotline or find our merch. You can follow us on Instagram. We're at smellylater.mp3. I am at Sabletooth Tigra.
I'm at Tynan Buck. And until next time, we will... Smell you later. Not as good.